जय 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 मधुसूदना, जय 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 मन, जय 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 मन मोहना, जय 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 मधुसूदना, केशवा माधवा केशवा, केशवा माधवा केशवा, माधवा केशवा, माधवा गोपाला गोपालना, जय राधा गोपाला गोपालना, गना जय 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 मन मोहना, जय 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 मधुसूदना, जय 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 मन मोहना, जय 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 मधुसूदना, केशवा माधवा, माधवा केशवा, केशवा माधवा, माधवा केशवा, राधा गोपाला गोपालना, ना जय 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 मन मोहना, जय 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 मधुसूदना, जय 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 मन मोहना, जय 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 मधुसूदना, जय जय जय
श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम।
राम जय राम बिनु सतसंग भी बेक न होई राम कृपा बिनु सुलभ न सोई श्री राम जय राम साधु असाधु सं सुख सारी सुमी रही राम देही धन गारी श्री राम जय राम कल कर मन भगति विवेक मंगल भवन आ मंगल हारी द्रव पुसो दशरथ अजीर विहारी श्री राम जय राम बरे भागवान अवध तहाजह राम निवास दिवस तहाजह भानु प्रकाश श्री राम जय राम काहु न को सुख दुख कर दाता निज कृत कर्म भोग सब भाता श्री राम जय राम कर्म प्रधान विश्व करी राम जस करई सो तस भलु चाखा श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम बोलो राम 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 सीता राम 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 राम
in that room where I'm staying, in the closet. थैंक यू माँ. ओके ओके वन पर्सन ओनली गो यू नो. No, no, I don't want this. That bag has a bhajan on Sitaji I want to sing. One very rare bhajan you find on Sitaji. And today we have to speak on Sitaji. And there is there in this book. Okay, leave it, leave it. Then all her labor will be... You keep it. All right, so... अहल्या द्रौपदी सीता तारा मंदोदरी तथा. सो तारा मंदोदरी वी सॉ टुगेदर अहल्या वी सॉ फर्स्ट डे. सो द्रौपदी एंड सीता जी वी हैव टू सी. एंड समटाइम इन प्लेस ऑफ सीता दैट कुंती आई थिंक सीता इज द मोर ऑथोरिटेटिव वन बिकॉज द फाइव आर एक्चुअली ऑफ डिवाइन ओरिजिन. कुंती इज ऑफ वर्ल्डली ओरिजिन. शी इज बॉर्न फ्रॉम अ वर्ल्डली मदर. Sita, all the rest they're off from Brahmaji or from Kshira Sagar or some like that. They're not of regular birth. Anyway, we'll see now. Draupadi first.
Thank you.
Draupadi is the daughter of Drupada. Drupada. You live in a kingdom called Panchala. Panchala kingdom. So this Drupada, in Sanskrit, when you take little words like that and you from, like for example, Arjuna is called as Kaunteya because he's son of Kunti. So that Kunti, when you take and you just twist a little bit, you get Kaunteya. Kaun. From Kunti, you get Kaun like that. Or is from Pritha, one of Kunti's other name was Pritha. So she's from Pritha, you get Partha. Some little twist in the name is called a Pratyaya of that name. So in the same way, Drupada, you get Draupadi like that. Named after her father, Drupada. So Drupada means, you know, Trinidad, that meaning is not good. In Trinidad, I tell you a very, very nice thing. Not good means funny meaning. People who don't like to stay home. They don't like to stay at home. They like to walk about everywhere. In Trinidad, we call them hot foot. I didn't know in your language is what you call and all. But in Trinidad language, they have hot foot. Hot foot means you go to look for them at home, they're never there by that neighbor, but they're over there, you know, in that shopping, something, they're always some other place, except home. I'm sure everybody's regional language will have something for that. So, literally, if you translate, Drupada will be quick-footed. Who moves very fast. Or one other meaning will come there. Really somebody who sits, who cannot sit down. There are some people who cannot sit down. All day they have to be doing something. Have you seen? There's like some kind of jittery kind of thing. Like, you can't sit quietly. Workaholics. There are some workaholics also. So one meaning will be like that. Always on their feet doing something. That kind of. Draupadi. So from the father she got that name and all. Now what happened? This story is very famous, all of you would be knowing. Her father Drupada had... let me tell you how she was born also. This Dronacharya, you know, he had some enmity with that Drupada. So he decided he'll do some yaga, some fire sacrifice. And he'll get a son that will remove that Dronacharya, that will be responsible for the death of Dronacharya. And from that fire, really, this Drishtadyumna came out. And along with Drishtadyumna, this Draupadi also came. So Drishtadyumna was really responsible for the fall of Dronacharya on that battlefield and all. That's one long story there. So this Draupadi came from that fire along with her brother. Both. So she was born from this fire. And therefore we say she doesn't have a regular birth like Kunti, for instance. Kunti was her mother-in-law. Kunti's five sons married to this Draupadi. Okay, so we'll come to that just now. But this is her birth has this very mystic origin, like that, coming out from that fire, the result of a long yaga, yajna. So she had the Swayamvar. The father had the Swayamvar, you know, she'll choose her husband. These Pandavas, five Pandavas, Arjuna and his brothers, they were in the forest incognito at the time. And they went to that Swayamvar also. And Arjuna was able to outdo everybody and he won that Draupadi and brought her home. Brought her to the mother. And that mother was busy doing something there, Kunti. And Arjuna said, come see what we have won. So that mother from there now, without looking, she said, well, whatever you have won, make sure you share it equally with all the brothers. And they now could not, now mother has, this Kunti has said, but it is said that was also, what happened there is, Draupadi in a previous birth, before we go on, you know, Draupadi is that, here, the Shastra says she is an incarnation of Indra's, what is her name? Sachi, yes. She's an incarnation of this Indra Sachi. Therefore, at one point in Mahabharata, Yudhishthira actually exclaimed that she had partiality towards Arjuna because Arjuna is Indra avatar. She was married to all five of them, but she had partiality towards Arjuna. That's Sachi. So, she had prayed in some previous life to Lord Shiva. She had prayed for her husband, but in the Sankalpa, she did that Sankalpa five times. And that now Lord Shiva gave her five husbands in one time. That all other, you know, Bhagwan Sri Ramana Maharshi says, you have to be very careful what you pray for. Because you may get it. and that may not be a good thing. Because, look here. You know that this topic of prayer comes up there. See how she ends up with five husbands because of prayer. Let me tell you quickly, briefly about prayer a little bit. If you look at our prayers, the best prayers in Hinduism, right? They are prayers of adoration, prayers of gratitude, and prayers of goodness for others. I'll give you the top prayers and you will see. There is no, among our most popular prayers that we have, and mantras and all, none of them is selfish. You just see. Om Purnamada, Purnamidam. This is a philosophical prayer, isn't it? We mean you say, from that complete, total whole, this whole has come. But there is no asking Bhagwan for anything. Eh? No asking the Lord for anything. In most, Twameva Mata, Chapita, Twameva, you are my father, you are my mother. Twameva Bandhu, Chasaka, Twameva, you are my friend and my companion and everything. There again, there is no asking. Then if you Om Bhurvasva Tat Savitur Varenyam, the one asking comes at the end. Not asking for anything worldly, but may you enlighten my intellect so that I will understand you. You see? Not that I want, oh Prabhu, please let me win the lottery. There is no such prayer. People go on. I've told you now. Poor people begging outside, rich people begging inside. You always go on to the Lord praying for this and praying for that. See, if we pray for something, see what we pray for. Sarve bhavantu sukhinaha. Sarve santu niramayaha. Who is he saying? Sarve. May all be happy. May all be free from disease. He doesn't go, may I be happy. May I be free from disease. What about neighbor? He's okay. No. We don't have such a selfish type of prayer. May all people be happy. You know, may all be free from. May there be rain so that the crops will grow. Parajanyaha. We pray like that. And these are all the Vedic prayers, all the prayers coming from the Vedas and all like this type. So, when we talk about prayers in Hinduism, we always value those prayers which are meant to show gratitude to Bhagavan or which are meant to adore the Lord. You are so wonderful. See, you are full, you are total, you are complete. You are the substratum of the universe. You are pure existence. Like that. We adore. That other type of prayer, I see Bhagavan himself is telling, there are four types of people that pray to him, you know. Four types of people that worship him, he tells in 7th chapter. One is called Artha, the other is called Artharthi, then Jignyasu, and last is called Jnani. And when Arjuna looks at him, Prabhu, oh, these four, which is best, you think? Bhagavan said, Jnani, of course. Jnani Vishishyate. He supersedes all of them. Because the Jnani, why he prays to Bhagavan? Poor fellow, helpless. He loves Bhagavan so much. He appreciates the Lord so much. He just naturally he prays. Not for anything in particular. And so the first type of prayer is when we close our eyes. But the last type of prayer really is our eyes open wide. And appreciating the Lord's vast and limitless manifestation. Appreciating how intricate this universe is, which he's sustaining. Appreciating how he keeps all things going with such precision. Huh? The sun rises in the same direction every morning. The earth is going around and all that, turning and everything. Such precision. See now? So when we start appreciating, this appreciation itself is prayers. Work is worship. Have you heard? Work is worship. When we do that work and in dedication to Bhagwan, that is worship. So that is, I'm doing, you have done everything for me. Why can I not do something for you? That type of prayer. So Hinduism has always had all this type of prayer. And you see, now when we go and we pray for something for ourselves, selfishly and all, I tell you, if you really do a little bit of analysis, you'll realize that there is really no need to pray for anything. The only type of prayer that is really worthwhile is adoration, appreciation. You know why? Because things in this world, they do not come by prayer. If you want baigan, no matter how much pray, you will not get baigan. You take a seed and you plant it in ground, no prayers. You take a seed and you plant it in the ground, you will get baigan without prayers. So then what? What is the purpose of the prayer then? Certainly not to get baigan. For getting baigan, prayer is not the means. There is cause and effect na in the world. So prayer is not the cause of baigan. You put the seed, you will get. Like that, everything in the world. You want something, you work. There's karma. Karma has results. You do that required karma. Then it will come. So, the prayer is actually, when the Bangan comes now, you better pray that when you eat it, it doesn't upset you. You pray for other things. You know? Pray for money. You work for money, but pray that when you get the money, you have peace of mind. That's better. Not pray to get money. There are so many atheists who have worked hard and they got money. The Bhagavan doesn't fit in the equation. So we discourage those type of prayer. We encourage the type of prayer of appreciation and adoration and gratitude and all such things. Huh? That type. So this Draupadi had gone and prayed there for her husband. Now see what happened. No, that Kunti, when she heard, she was totally flabbergasted. She didn't realize that she said this word. And they had to fall. Actually, Arjuna had prior to that disobeyed. See how this whole karma works. Arjuna had prior to that disobeyed Kunti. And he went to that Swayamvar with a sankalpa in his mind. He said, if I win this Draupadi, who was at that time the most beautiful woman, if I win this Draupadi, I take a vow from today, anything my mother says, I will never disobey. He went with that vow. Now see what happened. See, karma and all. Then, when they came now, when she came there, time to get married now, they're thinking, now what type of wedding we should have? All five of them will sit down one time there? And one bride and five? Groom. Five grooms. It is said Lord Shiva himself intervened there, and he said, no, you do five separate weddings. So that will complete his granting of the boon which he had prayed to him for. So there were five separate weddings they did for these. And there were many other boons that she was given by the Lord also. So of divine origin. And she had, now see, I told you in one of the previous days, you do not judge past history according to your own present standards and all that kind of thing. Societies and civilizations have gone through many, many, many different phases, and you know, things are changing every day in society. So today's society may be in a certain way. That doesn't mean to say society has always been like that. So civilization has always seen matriarchal societies. Societies controlled by women. There are some places on the earth even today which is still matriarchal. Then we have patriarchal societies. And it always goes, what goes around? Comes around. There's always change going on in the world. So, polyandry it is called. Polyandry. And a man with many wives, you call what? Polygamy. Polygamy. So polygamy and polyandry. The words are even there in the language. That societies have gone through those type of things. In fact, she herself, at the time, when they asked Draupadi, now what? How you could marry five husbands at the same time? If you see the research there, she has quoted many instances in past also where this has happened. So at the time, it was not anything strange. It's justifiable according to the history of the time, like that. Today, it will be a... And one amazing thing, look here. How come nobody scoffs at a man with five wives? Why should you scoff at a woman with five? Husband or not? It shows biasness in society today even. I have spoken to some, you know, Muslim wives. They are so happy with their other Muslim co-wife. In fact, at one place I had gone. This is an amazing thing. I had didn't expect. Sometimes, you know, you experience things which you never expect. We were sitting in a group, and some strange other woman had come there, and this one Muslim woman was sitting there, and this other lady was saying, unknowing to this, they did not know each other and all. She is thinking of getting married. This one exclaimed from the group, hey, you can share my husband. You can marry him. You can marry him. She really took up that offer and went there. To find out, you know, whether she wants to marry him or not. Because she's Muslim, her husband is allowed to have 5 wives and all that kind of thing. I don't know what happened after that, and don't ask. But I was there present when an offer was made. Very easily. So societies have all sorts of things, you know. So anyway, she got married to all 5 of them. And she had one son with each of them, who died in that Mahabharata war also. She suffered tremendously. Because to all your children to die and all, that is really... So anyway, Draupadi, and you know, all the occurrences also have symbolism in them, you know. Can you... So this thing is of a certain color, right? By hearing it, can you tell what color? You can't tell what color, isn't it? Colors do not have sounds. You actually have to see it with your eyes only, then you'll know what. By smelling also, you can't tell what color. It means one sense organ will perform one. But even though all the 5 sense organs are connected to the mind, one sense organ will only do only one function. And it could never perform the function of the other. I met one man at one place. I said, where are you coming from? He said, I went to a function just now, and they were playing music there. He said, that music was so loud, Swamiji. Trying to explain to me how loud it was. That music was so loud, I could see the notes in the air. Now, that is only an exaggeration to try to explain how loud the music was. But really... You really can't see the notes, isn't it? You can only hear the notes. So when Lord Shiva, for instance, tells, okay, you have 5 separate weddings. You have a mind, Draupadi, who is connected to 5 senses, 5 pancha pandavas. So 5 separate weddings. All of them bring data to the mind, these 5 tentacles of the mind, 5 senses, they bring data to the mind, but all of them separate. One cannot bring the data off. No matter how much you listen to this, color will not come through your ear. The color will not come. This is an amazing thing. So the symbolism there is really how the mind functions with the 5 senses. The 5 senses are connected to this antakarana. And how they bring data to the antakarana in specific ways. Only when they come inside, then they can be analyzed and all that kind of thing. But the bringing of the data is a very, very wonderful thing. One cannot do the function of the other. So pancha pandava, like that. 5 of them married to one Draupadi, who is antakarana, mind you may say, and 5 senses connected in that way. And therefore, one more thing that you know. Among these 5, you know the most important one. Among pancha pandavas, who is most famous, most important? Yudhishthir Dharmaraj. Huh? Actually, Bhagwan did not choose Yudhishthir also to give Gita. He chose Arjuna. So among 5 senses, on the path of spirituality, Arjuna is. If you are missing any one of your other senses, it is okay. But if you are missing ears on this spiritual path, you're in some trouble. is going to be very difficult because our entire tradition is based on Shruti and Shravanam. Therefore, blind people will memorize the whole of Vedas easily. Blind Surdas, blind, you know, so many blind devotees we have had. Because eyes are not really required. The most important of the five is... No, we're not saying the others are not important. We're saying most important on the path of spirituality. It's the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnoho Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmani Vedanam. You heard in Bhakti Marg, the first is again Shravanam. In Gyan Marg, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Again, Shravanam. Suppose that first is, sense organ is missing. Then? So, this Shravanam is very, very important. And see, all our Shastra, there are Shruti also. And how deep Shravanam goes, you know. When we say, the Rishi heard the mantra. When we say that Vishwamitra heard Gayatri mantra. It was revealed to him that he's hearing it what? He's hearing at the deepest level of his personality, isn't it? He's hearing at, with the deepest level of his personality. It means to say, this Shravanam. Shravanam goes very deep into our personality, where at the subtlest level, a mantra is revealed and he can hear that there, inside. How deep Shravanam goes. So, of course, all the senses go very deep. But the important one there is, and do you know some people, they say, this mantra has this color and all. They can also see very deep. But what is important is the hearing of the mantra, not the see. So he hears that mantra at a very deep level and then he utters it to others. So it's a Shravan tradition, Shravanam tradition, both in Gyan and Bhakti. And so Arjuna, he heard that whole Bhagavad Gita. And do you know, in Bhagavad Puran, I have seen, Uddhav told Bhagwan in Bhagavad Puran, he said, Prabhu, you know, you gave Arjuna that whole Bhagavad Gita. You please give it to me also. You know, Bhagwan said, he himself admits, that I could never repeat that. Cannot repeat that Gita. That state of mind and whatever he had at the time, he said, that cannot be repeated. So then he gives another Gita called Uddhav Gita. But that Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was so fortunate to hear that directly from the Lord. So, among these Pancha Pandavas, among the five senses that are connected to this mind, the one that is important for all of us is paying attention with this ears to Shruti, doing Shravanam. Now after that, the other things will come. But if I have not done Shravanam first, nothing will come. You think, na? If you have not done Shravanam, what you will do, Mananam? Of course, we have done Shravanam. We have listened to television and rock bands and all. We'll do Mananam on that only. Isn't it? So, Draupadi then, mind, Panchapandavas, five senses. And pay attention to that one. Now, that last one we have to see there. Oh, then Kunti a little bit, let me tell you. Kunti was the sister of Vasudev, yes. Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsa Chanura Mardanam. That Vasudev. Huh? And there's another Tadhita Pratyaya that Vasudev's son is called Vasudev. Vasudev is Krishna's father. So Krishna is called Vasudev. Vasudeva Sutam. That's how he gets the name Vasudev. So that's Vasudev. His sister was Kunti. So that means Kunti was Krishna's auntie. Auntie, na? So she was born to this, what is his name now? Shurasena. Shurasena. And this Shurasena gave to Kunti Bhoja as a baby. So she was brought up by Kunti Bhoja. And that's how she got the name Kunti, you know. She was brought up by somebody else, foster child. But had, you know, earthly birth like all the rest. And got married to this Pandu. Pandu. And once that Agastya Muni had come there and she had served him, you know, very well. While she was not yet married. She was in Kunti Bhoja's house. And she served at Agastya Muni very well. And he gave her a sacred mantra by which she could summon any one of the gods to have children. And she tried it out one day and that Karna was born. And she put him in that, all the story you know. Kunti. But then she summoned all the other gods and had all the, because Pandu got a curse. Pandu had once shot a rishi and his wife when they were sleeping together. And that rishi, before he died, he cursed this Pandu. If you ever embrace your wife, you'll be dead. Pandu could not have children because of that. So then she told Pandu, this Kunti, that I have this mantra from the sage, you know. I can get children. So Pandu was the one who told, okay, you please get children, like that. So that is how the Pandavas and all came. So all this, so if you substitute in the mantra Sita for Kunti, this will be the other. But the original, as I was saying, appears to be Sita only. Because all of them have some divine birth. Pancha Kanya. And this is also what I was telling. Because they have some divine birth, it means to say they are beyond, they all have some divine origin. They are beyond the regular measuring rod which we all have. And so their purity is, they're able to keep their purity in spite of dabbling. Like for example, if a great sage walks into an abattoir where they kill animals, that in no way can really defile that sage because of his greatness. You see? When we walk in, we get totally disturbed and all, you know, our mind get, when we see how they treat animals and all that. But a sage, a seer, one who can see, he'll walk in there with samatvam and walk out with samatvam. So it shows that he is of some higher order. So because they were of some order like that, of divine origin and all, they could not be defiled. So from that point of view, they are called as kanyas, pure throughout there. They're like, even though they are dabbling, what do you say, engaging in all worldly affairs and all that. And also I told you from the standpoint of their great qualities which they had. So from that standpoint, then from the standpoint of the symbolism, because all of them symbolize something. Now the Sitaji, for instance. Oh, that's why I left Sitaji for the last, you know. There is no end to the thinking on Sitaji. Bhagavan Shankaracharya writes in his Atma Bodha, Atma Ramo Shanti Sita. Ram is the Atma. And the nature of the Atma is Shanti only. The nature of Atma is Shanti. That Shanti is Sita. Si karate trai loka supasi. Tulsidaji writes. So Sitaji is the fabric from which the universe is woven. The literal meaning of Sita is, you have heard the phrase in Hindi, otaprot. Otaprot. You know, when you see a piece of cloth, then this cloth is woven from thread. Right? So when you see something solid like that, it is woven from something finer. And if you take one thread and you open it, you'll see so many little fibers, isn't it? In that one thread. And deep down, you all fine little fibers, but when they come together, you see a whole solid cloth screen. So in the very same way, this universe is woven from, actually it is woven from Prakriti. Sita really, from that standpoint, is the Prakriti, the nature, Jagadamba, the mother of the universe, from which everything is born. Because those little fibers is that thing from which the cloth is born. If the little fibers are not there, how you'll make cloth? You can't make. So now, the Lord's pure existence in visible form, pure existence in visible form, is what the universe is. No. That thing is called a Sita. And because it is one pure existence, it is undifferentiated, and so of the nature of peace, of the nature of shanti. Nature of peace or shanti means what? You see, when your peace or your shanti is disturbed, your mind is blank, you're peaceful or not? Your mind is blank, undifferentiated, very peaceful. If that anything comes into that mind, the peace is disturbed. Means if there is uniformity in the mind is very peaceful. When that uniformity is disturbed, the peace goes away. So the one uniform, visible existence which we see, another way to look at that, just think, this is all philosophical now. This thing exists or not? It exists. This exists. Right? The space right outside exists or not? On two sides, on all sides. The space exists. So really speaking, everything is made up of existence. And we are seeing it also. We see that it exists. Once one man went to a sage and he asked that sage, "Oh, great sage, how do I know that I exist?" That sage asked, "Who may I ask is asking?" Because if you are asking, that means you exist. Or another way to say that, you show me something which doesn't exist. You can't, isn't it? It's impossible. How you will show something that doesn't exist? I remember that nice story in our Trinidad ashram. We used to have a big bus. It used to hold like 25 people or something. A big bus from here to that wall. I used to drive. Then we used to go satsang here and there in the night time. And when satsang is over, we load up in that bus and head back to the ashram. Then I'll sit in the driver's seat. I'll turn back there. "Is everybody here?" "Yes, Swamiji." Then they'll say, "Those who are missing, please raise your hand." Some hands will go up also. You can't be missing and raise your hand. And if you're raising your hand, that means you're not missing. If you can show me something, that means it is existent, isn't it? Existing. It is extant. So, this universe really is existence in so many different forms. But if you go down to the root of existence, existence is actually one and same. That existence really is Sitaji. And this is because it is one uniform existence, it is of the nature of peace. There is no second thing to disturb it. That is Sita. Sikarate. She from whom the whole universe is woven. The whole universe is woven from. Because you see, listen to Bhagavan Krishna in 13th chapter. He says, the reality cannot be characterized. Nasaptan nasaduchyate. This is his phrase. His phrase is, the reality cannot be given a name as sat or Asat. If you are naming reality, you are putting a finite label on something which is infinite. So he says, no. The reality is neither sat no. Asat, two times in Bhagavad Gita he mentions this in the 9th chapter also. It is neither sat no asat. That is to remind us that we really cannot put a name or a label on that reality, because a name is a finite thing. Right? So when we say that Bhagavan is Sat Chit Ananda, we are meaning to say that the Lord's manifestation of existence, as existence, this manifestation we see because we see things existing, everything exists. We see existence everywhere. That manifestation of the Lord, we are now giving the name Sat. And when we delve deep into this existence, we realize it's just one uniform existence, which is manifesting as variegated things. You know, like when the potter, the clay potter, he takes clay and one uniform clay, and he makes cup, plate, dog, elephant. He can take that one thing and shape it into many things. In the very same way, the one uniform existence can be shaped into countless number of things. Like how water can exist as gas, liquid, or solid. Same H2O. Same H2O can exist as solid, liquid, or gas. It is amazing. If you look at H2O under a microscope, you take a drop of water, put it under a microscope, and you look there. So you will see one oxygen there and two hydrogens attached to him, right? No, but seeing that one oxygen and two hydrogens attached to him there, can you tell that there is an inherent, intrinsic possibility that this element or this molecule can be in the form of solid, liquid, or gas? Just by looking in a microscope, can you tell that? Never. All you will see is one oxygen with two hydrogens attached. And by seeing that, you could never tell the possibilities inherent in that thing. But right there, in a little one molecule, there are three possibilities. Nah. One of the possibilities is in gas, vapor, which you cannot even see. The other possibility is without form, that is this water, liquid. And that last possibility is solid also. So, in that simple worldly element called water, there are possibilities. In the very same way, in this pure existence, the first manifestation of Bhagavan, this pure existence, there are how many possibilities? This water only has three. This pure existence has how many possibilities? Infinite number of possibilities. So it can take any shape, any name, any form, solid, liquid, gas, anything you can imagine also, which you even cannot imagine also. That existence can take any one of those forms. Just like the clay can take the form of pot, plate, cup, dog, elephant, you know, anything. So existence is of such a wonderful nature, it can take any countless number of form. That existence is what makes up this universe. That existence is called here as Sita, because it is that from which the universe is woven. But the Lord himself, that is why we say, have you seen Ardhanarishwar? Bhagwan, Shiva Parvati, half and half. The Lord and his Prakriti, we separate them for analytic purposes. For analytic purposes, we separate the Lord from his Prakriti. That is why in some sampradaya, they say that the universe is Chidvilas. All such words you may have heard. Chidvilas. Chidvilas means if the Lord is Satchitananda. Now, one aspect of the Lord is Chit, consciousness. So what we see in front of us is Satvilas or Chidvilas. It's just the different permutations and combinations of Sat or Chit. All the different forms and manifestations of Sat or Chit. existence or consciousness. That sat ochitu, whichever one you want to say, because it is manifest, it is Sita. And everything is made from that. Now, this Sitaji's birth, this is at a philosophical level. Because Bhagavan Shankaracharya says she is the Shanti of the Atma. And I told one, only a uniform thing can be perfectly peaceful. Anytime you have two, that is prescription for trouble. Only when one is there, there is peace. If you have two minds, half of your mind is going this way and half of your mind is going that way. Huh? One wife is telling that husband, I changed my mind. That husband asks, so does it work better now? But if you go on changing your mind, yesterday you had this mind, tomorrow you had that other mind. Then third day you will come back to this mind, isn't it? But if you have one mind, then you're peaceful. You go on changing. Anyway, so only one, something that is uniform, undifferentiated, can be absolutely peaceful. So she's that undifferentiated existence, which at the fundamental level is undifferentiated, which at the superficial level seems to be differentiated. You know, when we cannot see through the facade, then only we quarrel and fight. You have to be able to see through the facade. You know, it's like this, I'll tell you. One little boy, the potter made some toys, some little animals out of clay, right? So one little boy gets that crocodile made out of clay. And another one gets an alligator. And two of them, and this one goes, my crocodile is more fierce than your alligator. You know, my crocodile can eat up your alligator like anything. They go on. Yeah, two of them. If they just forget all about this fierceness and all the other things and just look a little bit into that, you'll realize that the crocodile and alligator, they came from the same clump of clay. Huh? From Macon. Or wherever. Same clump of clay, both of them. And really, fundamentally, crocodile and alligator, there is no difference. At the superficial level, yeah, this one looks like a crocodile. This one looks like a alligator. And biology, I mean, zoology, people may tell crocodiles are more fierce than alligators or vice versa and all that kind of thing. But really, at the fundamental level, they are same. So here also in this world, at the fundamental level, everything is just one pure existence. We go on quarreling and fighting based on the superficial things. So this is all about the philosophical aspect of Sita. Now, birth, Sita. Janakji Maharaj found Sitaji while he was plowing the land. The Rishi told, you know, there's a drought, there is pestilence, whatever, in this kingdom. You have to do a yajna. And then you have to plow the land and sow seeds and all of these things and reap yourself. And if the king does this, then there will be plenty. So he said, Janakji Maharaj, I said, Dasharath? Janakji Maharaj was plowing. And his plow hit something in the ground. And there was a pot there. And he found this baby in this pot, Sitaji. And after a short little while, you know, after bringing her home and everything, he realized she is Jagadamba Mata only. Janakji Maharaj also realized she is the mother of the universe. She chose to come in the universe in that way only. And then I told you on one of the previous days, some of the Puranas and all have, and different Ramayana and all has, that she was this Mandodari's daughter only, who had consumed the blood of the Rishis. And she, Lakshmi, decided to come in this form, in this, through this medium. So Janakji realized very soon that she's not any ordinary child. You know why? Because that's Shiva Dhanush. That Shiva Dhanush was left there and nobody could move it. And that Sita, while she was a baby crawling about, she used to just take her hand and nobody else could move that Shiva Dhanush. Just like that, she used to move it aside, like, as a child. So Janakji Maharaj realized this cannot be any ordinary child. And therefore he had made that condition that the one who breaks this bow, he only will marry this Sitaji. Because if she is Jagadamba Mata, Jagat Mata, then only Jagat Pita will be able to break that and marry this Sita. So she, in Trinidad, there's a wonderful story about that, you know. That school supervisor, he goes into that school, and he, in our Trinidad island there, we have so many Hindu schools. So he goes into one of those Hindu schools, and he tells the teacher, you stand outside. I want to find out what you're teaching these children in these Hindu schools. So yeah, he asked one boy, hey, who broke that Shiva Dhanush? That boy said, sir, not me. Then that supervisor got, angry what this boy is saying, not him. So he called that teacher inside that class. This is a Hindu school. What are you teaching these children? I asked this boy who broke the Shiva Dhanush. He said, not him. This teacher said, sir, that is a very honest boy. If he said, is it not him, it is not him. So the supervisor now goes to the principal. So he tells that principal, whatever Hindu school you have here, I asked that boy who broke the Shiva Dhanush. He said he didn't break it. Then I told that teacher. That teacher said that boy is an honest boy. He's telling the truth. What type of school is this? That principal said, don't get upset now. If it is broken, we'll replace it. What is the big problem with that? No problem. Then that school supervisor goes home. After a long day, of again getting frustrated in school and this and that, he tells his wife, look what happened. I asked that boy, he said he didn't break it. Then teacher said he's an honest boy. Then principal said, we'll replace it. Did he not even know who broke the Shiva Dhanush or what Shiva Dhanush is? That wife goes, that is because they don't read their Bhagwat. That man put down his pen and book and everything and took sannyas and ran away to Himalaya. That is an extension of the story, anyway. So, but soon after bringing her there, Janakji Maharaj realized this is Jagadamba Mata only. And so he made this condition that Sitaji got. Now, she decided to come through the earth. And also left through the earth. Like he was digging, plowing there, and he found her. And she also left in the same. We are left here. People are left here arguing and this and that. But she decided to come in that way and leave in that way. And people go on asking also. Somebody was asking yesterday also. Maybe I should answer that today. This Bhagwan Ram shot this Bali from behind only. And Bhagwan Ram also sent Sitaji. Away, these two questions, perennial questions, they will never go away. He shot Bali from behind and he sent that Sitaji out. So we'll see that, just remind me just now at the end, I'll see that. So, all Shiva Dhanush breaking, Bhagwan Shri Ram came, married Sitaji and that all story of Ramayana, So, when you have to think philosophically, what is the relationship between Sita and Ram, you have to really go into Shankaracharya's verse of Atmabodh, where he is Atma, and she is the Shanti of the Atma. And you have to also think now, she is that thing from which the universe is woven. So this universe is only woven from Sat. From existence. And that Sat is by nature peaceful actually. Because it is one uniform thing. There is no second thing to disturb it. It's peace. You see, like the H2O in the ocean may form a tsunami and may destroy a whole country. But does it do anything to H2O? In the end, when everything is destroyed, Half a million people gone in tsunami. What has happened to H2O? H2O is back to normal like nothing ever happened. See, you may see phenomena, you know, turning over and forming this and forming that, and phenomena is going on all the time, right? But really, in the end, since it is all made up of existence, nothing has really happened to existence. It is all the time at peace only. All right. So this is Sitaji. Because when Bhagwan Vishnu decided he'll come as Ram, she decided, okay, I'll go as Sita. Now, one more little issue there we'll see with regard to Sitaji. And then we'll end this. So we saw the philosophical, metaphysical regarding Sitaji. Then we saw the descent, birth through the earth and left through the earth. There's one more thing. And that is the conduct in her life. This is amazing. Tremendous example. And one of the great things which, if you read to Siddhashji also, you go through very carefully there, you'll see. When it was time to go to the forest, Bhagwan Ram himself told her, you stay here and take care of my mother, Kausalya. He himself told her, stay here and take care of my mother, Kausalya. And she gives such wonderful argumentation in a very respectful, in a very soft manner also, which made such absolute sense why she should go to the forest. In the end, Bhagwan Ram himself could not say anything. Yes, you please come. But the manner in which it was done, Tulsidasji is a genius when it comes to that pen I told you. Nah? The manner in which it was done, it is not like, who are you to tell me where to come? Not that type of thing. It is done in such a graceful and civilized, rational, logical, soft manner. You see, all of those things will come in there. The Lord himself could not say no. So while at the same time she's asserting her individuality, she's doing it with such finesse that it becomes an example for all of humanity, actually. Not only for women, but also for men. It is supremely amazing. You just take a look at that thing when you go back there. Eh? She asserts her independence and individuality and her rights. As we said, in these type of societies, people always talking about fundamental rights and freedoms and all that kind of thing, right? So she asserts that, but does it in such a wonderful way that it becomes an example for all societies at all times. When you want to see civility in the assertion of your rights, you have to see that. It is amazing. So in her conduct in life, she is exemplary in every manner. Amazing. So this thing about Sitaji, and at one point she meets the sage Atrimuni and Anasuya in the beginning of Aranyakanda, and as Anasuya gives her all the lessons about a dutiful wife and all that sort of thing, and some of it, much of it, will not be relevant today. There also Sitaji listens very nicely. And since Anasuya is such a so senior to her, she listens very, very respectfully and all. And she doesn't make comments. She knows very wisely, okay, here's one generation. And if she's giving the advice to the younger generation, there will be certain things which I can use and certain things which I do not need. But she doesn't make any comment to hurt the older generation or anything like that. Very wisely she listens, and in her own mind she knows, well, okay, among all the 10 things which she said, I will be able to choose 5 of them. But she doesn't say anything. Otherwise, no, you people are outdated. Why are you telling me this? In your time this worked. This does not work in my time. There is no need for all of that thing. Yeah. It's very, very, in every conduct of her, like I told you, you just see. And see, read behind the lines. You can't just read what is there. See what in her behavior and all that. It's amazing. So, great exemplar for men and women. Because all men also do the same things. All right. This is about Sitaji. And this bhajan I told you. See, this bhajan comes from a very well-known CD in our Chinmaya Mission itself. There is in our Chinmaya Mission Bakersfield, there is one Ashok Bhatt. You all maybe must be knowing his CDs and all. It comes from one of his CD. Find the page. That's Sita Bhajan. Jai Mithilesh Kumar, page 18. Okay, let me tell you meaning first and then we'll see. Jai Mithilesh Kumari, victory to that princess of Mithila Desh. Princess of Janak Ji. Mithilesh is Janak. Because he was the king of Mithila Desh. So he's called as Mithilesh. And she's a Kumari, that princess of. Dharanandini Janaka Dulari Sakala Jagat Mangalakari. Dharanandini. There are two meanings there. Dharanandini will be. Dhara, one meaning is earth itself. Earth. So she was born from that earth, I just told you. And one meaning of Dharanand is Janakji only. So, two meanings. Janaka Dulari, and that beloved. Dulari in English is what? Darling, yeah. That's about the best you could do. Darling of Janakji. Raghupati Hridayeshwari. That. Sitaji, who rules the heart of Raghupati, like that. Bhujata, born from the earth. Charana Kamala Sevata Laghu Bhrata. This is the most wonderful line. Whose lotus feet were served by Lakshman. It is said that when they found those, you know, Sugriva and all brought those anklets and all. And all the jewelry of Sitaji, because she had thrown it down while Ravan was taking her. Lakshmana could only recognize those anklets because he had never looked up. He had always seen her feet. Amrita Varshini. She's a veritable shower of pure bliss. Just now we're seeing Anand. Ananda and Shanti, they're one and same. An immortal Amrita, nectar. Amrita Varshini, Janaki Mata, Kuru Karuna, Bhava Bhaya Hari. Please shower your. And see if we are asking for something in the bhajan also so nicely. Kuru Karuna. Just you shower your grace, your compassion. To who? Just shower. You see? They're not asking you, know, please shower your grace on me. Shall I let the whole of humanity get your grace? Tu Maha Lakshmi, tu hi Brahmani. You are Lakshmi and you are Saraswati also. Tu hi Parvati, sab jagat jani. The whole world knows you are this Parvati, Lakshmi, Saraswati, all in one. Paramapavitri, Mata Bhavani, supremely pure. Kuru Karuna Bhavaya Hari. Show your Karuna. Grace. Kripa. If anybody knows, you can please follow.
जय मिथिलेश कुमारी कुमारी जय मिथिलेश कुमारी कुमारी जय मिथिलेश कुमारी कुमारी जय मिथिलेश कुमारी धरानंदिनी जनक दुलारी धरानंदिनी जनक दुलारी सकल जगत मंगलकारी सकल जगत मंगलकारी जय मिथिलेश कुमारी कुमारी जय मिथिलेश कुमारी कुमारी जय मिथिलेश कुमारी रघुपति हृदयेश्वरी भूजाता रघुपति हृदयेश्वरी भूजाता चरण कमल से वत लघु भ्राता चरण कमल से वत लघु अमृत वर्षिणी जानकी माता अमृत वर्षिणी जानकी माता गुरु करुणा भव बयहारी गुरु करुणा भव बयहारी जय मिथिलेश कुमार कुमारी जय सकल जगत मंगलकारी सकल जगत मंगलकारी जय मिथिलेश कुमार कुमारी जय सब जग जानी तुई पार्वती सब जग जानी परम पवित्री माता भवानी परम पवित्री माता भवानी गुरु करुणा भव भयहार सकल जगत मंगलकारी सकल जगत मंगलकारी
Aarti will have evening, isn't it? Or now? No. Okay, but somebody had asked that question. Let me just answer those two questions and then we'll... Quickly, I'll try to... One question all the time.